Thank you once again to our sister Helen for coming and singing. We trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you would yield to the Spirit's voice, that you would come to Christ, close in with Christ, and realize the great solemnity that God has said in His Word, that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Today is the day of grace and opportunity. Would you heed the warning of that great hymn? That you come and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. We thank our sister for coming. We trust the Lord will continue to bless her and to use her for His glory as she witnesses for our Saviour and sings for the Lord. Now we're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this gathering. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns and our sisters' messages and song. And we pray that Thou would bless all these things in the reading of Thy Word to every heart and soul that Thou hast brought into Thy house tonight. And Lord, we pray for those in our gathering unsaved, be the young, Lord, be the old. And O God, we would cry that Thou would have mercy upon such tonight, that they might see their need and feel their need of Christ, and that they might come and trust Him as their Saviour. Bless every child of Thine, O God, as well. Lead Thy people on with God, and help us to make much of the Saviour in the day in which we live. Lord, bless us now as we turn to Thy Word. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Our text for this evening is the verses 14 and 15 of Acts chapter 16. Let me just read those two verses with you again. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Now, Acts chapter 16 is a tremendous chapter that I always love to read. And it tells of the Lord's direction, the hand of God upon Saul, and directing him to the city of Philippi in the province of Macedonia, an ancient part of Greece. And what a story that is, how God leads and guides and directs His servants in the center of His will. And when he comes to Philippi, we read of him visiting a prayer meeting at a riverside. And at this prayer meeting, there was a group of women together praying. We read of how Paul ministers God's Word, and as he does so, there's a certain lady there by the name of Lydia. And the Bible shows us how this woman is saved. She is born again of the Holy Spirit of God. She is converted to Christ. And in a simple, quiet manner, she receives the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Her sins are forgiven. And she is made ready for heaven. And that day, that riverside prayer meeting, this woman received the greatest of all gifts. Yes, she may have received other gifts in life, maybe gifts that were precious to her and personal to her. But this was the greatest of all gifts she received that day, the blessing of God's so great a salvation. Now we say to all tonight, to be a partaker of God's salvation is the greatest blessing that any person can possess and enjoy and enter into this side of the eternity of God. Indeed, as Paul wrote to young Timothy, he spake of this great blessing in his own life and the assurance of salvation in his soul when he said to Timothy, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul rejoiced in the assurance of God's salvation in his soul.
And wherever Paul went and wherever he spoke to people, he always testified and told others of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him and what Christ meant to him as his Savior and as his Lord. Dear friend, at the outset of our meeting tonight, I would like to ask you the simple question. Have you also this same assurance of salvation in your heart tonight? Are you converted? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? My, has your heart been opened up to the gospel like Lydia's? Has Christ entered into your heart? Has Christ entered into your life? This is of the utmost importance. There's nothing more important than for you to be saved and to be right with God. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Is there that proof? Is there that evidence? As you look over your life and look over your heart tonight, that all is well with your soul, that you're saved and safely gathered unto Christ. Oh, if not, then I pray even this evening, like Lydia of old, that you will come as a repentant sinner to Christ and then trust Him as your Savior. Tonight, as we would look just at the conversion of this woman, Lydia, there are three things that I want you to note about her. Notice, first of all, the character of Lydia. You'll see that her character was one of humility and one of industry. Look at the beginning there of verse number 14. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. The Bible record just describes her as a certain woman. In other words, she was not a high-ranking member of society, so to speak. She was just an ordinary woman of society. Yet we see here she was a hard-working woman. She was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. Now, she may have been insignificant in the eyes of the world, but in the providence and plan of God, God brought her from Thyatira over in Turkey in Asia Minor. And God brought her to Philippi. Maybe it was in business. Maybe there was recession in Thyatira. We don't know. Maybe she went to sell her wares in Philippi. But God brought her to that place, to that city. And there the Lord saves her by His grace and by His power. And this really shows us that God's salvation is for all kinds of people, all creeds and colors and classes. Then, no matter who you are, let me say this, the Lord can save you from your sin. You see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may feel insignificant in the eyes of others, but let me say this, God has an interest in you. God has an interest in your soul. And by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He can save you from your sin. By the blood that He shed, the Lord Jesus Christ can prepare you for heaven and for eternity. Now, the Bible says that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Maybe others may consider you foolish. Others may think of you as weak. But I tell you, God loves you. You see, the Bible says, God is love, and in His love He is able to save your soul to the very uttermost. Yes, Lydia's character was one of humility. It's one of industry. Notice something else here about her character. It was one of religiosity. Look again at verse 13 and then verse 14. Notice what you read. It says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. And there you see from what is said there in verse 13 and verse 14 that this woman, Lydia, she was a religious woman. We could say she was a God-fearing woman. It's evident there that she was a woman who kept the Sabbath day. She was a woman who believed in the worship of God. And we see from the chapter she was a woman who even attended a prayer meeting. Yet still she was not saved by the grace of God. Here you see that religion cannot save. No matter how good or how orthodox that religion may be. Now you think of our own province, our own country tonight. And all over it there are many people just like this woman Lydia. Yes, they're religious. Devoutly religious, God-fearing. They still have a fear of God about them. There are those and they keep the Sabbath day and they will not do things on the Sabbath day that they would normally do during the week. There are those, yes, and they will pray. They will say the Lord's Prayer. They will say prayers, maybe even attend a prayer meeting, yet not see it. My such have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I remember when we ministered down in Convoy in Donegal, there was two elderly ladies who came often to our meetings. They're now in their 90s, but they still have good health and still go. Very straight, very upright, kept the Sabbath day, were very kind, but to the best of my knowledge, even to this very day, they are still not saved. They had religion, but they had not Christ as their Savior. Then let me ask, are you religious just like this woman, Lydia? Maybe yes, you're God-fearing. You have a fear of God. Maybe yes, you keep the Sabbath day, and that's good. There's things that you will not do or put yourself to in the Sabbath day that others will do. And maybe even you say your prayers night by night. You say the Lord's Prayer. You pray. You read your Bible, and that is good and that is commendable. Let me make it very clear, all your religion cannot save your soul. You see, God's salvation is by faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 of Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Turning your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse number 12, and look at how John here makes it very clear, makes it very plain. He says, but as many as received him, that's Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John makes it clear salvation is by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Son of God as your Savior. You think of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, the founding fathers of Methodism, mighty men of God who were used of God. Yet before their salvation, they were devoutly religious, extremely religious. They even went on a preaching tour of America, preaching the Word of God. Yet still they were not saved. Yet still they were not converted to Christ. Their religion could not save them. To be saved from their sin, they had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They needed Christ as their Savior. This is how it was with Lydia. She was religious. But she needed Christ as her Savior. Friend unsaved, young person, older person, you may be religious. You may be brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church and know all about it inside out. You may be faithful in attending your church, whatever that place of worship is. But if you're still not saved tonight, let me say this. You need, just like Lydia, the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, we see the character of Lydia. But notice secondly tonight, notice her conversion. Lydia's conversion. Look at the latter part of verse number 14 there of Acts chapter 16. It says of this woman Lydia, in the middle of the verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Notice that word attended there. It says she attended. That really means she gave her full attention to the gospel message preached by the Apostle Paul. As Paul preached God's word, God opened up Lydia's heart. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she is brought to see and feel her need as a lost sinner before God. In turn, she is led to repent of her sin and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And friend, this is how God works in the salvation of sinners. Upon hearing God's word and seeing their need of salvation, they come to that place, the Bible says, of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how it was with Lydia. She yielded to the gospel message. She assented to the message that was preached that day from the lips of Paul. Oh friend, you must do the same. If you are to be saved, you must yield to the gospel message. The message of the gospel. That's the message you must yield to. What does that message declare? It declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It declares that you and I were born into this world, fallen sinners, dead in trespasses and in sins. That message also declares a penalty for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means eternal judgment, eternal punishment and hell for all who die in their sin. That message also declares that salvation has been purchased by the death and by the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's love and mercy. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that same message goes on to say and to declare that salvation is received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by a sinner calling upon the Lord and trusting in the Lord alone for their salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turn over there to Romans chapter 10 and to the verses 9 and 10. Look at it for yourself. Look at what the Word of God says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that is God's promise to all, whoever they are, whatever their background, their sin is, who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a repentant sinner. They shall be saved. At the close of a gospel meeting, the preacher was bringing his meeting to a close, and he announced Charlotte Elliot's great gospel hymn, that the people would sing it. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And in that meeting, as that hymn was being sung, God was dealing with a certain individual. God was working in a certain heart. As that hymn was being sung, that man simply and quietly in the closing moments of that meeting came to the Lord by faith and called upon the Lord for salvation. He confessed his sin to Christ. He trusted in the blood of Christ shed at Calvary to blot out his sin. And from that night he went on to live for Christ until the Lord Jesus Christ called him home to glory. He simply trusted in Christ by simple childlike faith. I want to see a friend tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl. Will you not do the same? Yes, Christ has come. Christ has shed His blood. He has died an atoning death for sinners upon the cross. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Oh, if you trust Him as your Savior, confessing your sin to Him. Yes, His blood will blot out all your sin from before God. He will save your soul. And my, one day He'll bring you to heaven. He'll bring you to glory. That's how it was with Lydia. Yes, we see her conversion. We see her character. But notice one final thing tonight. Notice the witness of Lydia. Look at her witness. Look at verse number 15.
Notice how it begins. It simply says, and she was baptized.
She loses no time here in confessing Christ before others. And being baptized, she was obeying God's word for His people. For the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By her baptism, she was testifying before others of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the pardoning of all her sins. And she was testifying of that new life in Christ. Yes, she was baptized. Notice something else. You'll see here that her witness was such that she was a blessing to her family. For notice that little phrase also in verse 15. It says, and her household. My in coming to Christ for salvation, there were others in Lydia's family, her household, and they followed her example. They too trusted Christ as their Savior at that particular time. You'll see something else here about her witness. She demonstrates her new life as a Christian by her good works. Notice what she says there to Paul and his friends at the end of verse 15. She says there, come into my house and abide there. And it says, and she constrained us. She was kind and helpful to Paul and the missionaries and the fellow servants in the gospel with him and those who labored together with him in the gospel. She showed kindness to them. You'll see something else here about her witness. Her burden as a Christian was to be faithful to the Lord. For notice what she says in verse 15. She says, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. My, she wanted to be true to the one who had saved her, true to the one who had done so much for her and her salvation. And friend, let me say this, when you too are saved, yes, you too can witness in a similar fashion, just like this woman of Christ is your Savior. Yes, by the waters of baptism, you can tell to others that your sins have been cleansed away by the blood of Christ, that you have begun a new life in Christ. Let me make it very clear that there is no salvation in the waters of baptism. You can have all the water sprinkled on you, poured on you. You can be immersed in it whatever way you want. But there is no salvation in the waters of baptism whatsoever. But let me say this, once you are saved, you're to obey the ordinance of baptism. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 and the verse number 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But my also in coming to Christ and trusting Him as Savior, yes, you can be used to reach others with the gospel. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. And my God can use your witness when you are saved to reach others with the gospel, to lead others to Christ. Think of Andrew when he was saved. God used him to point his brother Simon Peter to the Lord and to trust in the Lord for salvation. And my, when you get saved, the Lord can use you for His honor and for His glory. And my, in coming to Christ for salvation, my, you can show forth that salvation by a life of good works that glorify the Lord. Oh yes, you are not saved by good works. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. But when you are saved, good works is the evidence of your conversion to Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 10 that we are saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you think of John Newton when he was saved. His life was dramatically changed. There was a change in his life. You know, there's people today, and yes, they can profess salvation. They can tell you they're a Christian and whatnot. But you know, if there's no change, it's only a profession. It's not a possession. For when Christ enters in, there's a change. There's a new life to be lived for the glory of God.
Also in coming to Christ for salvation, my friend, your testimony is to be faithful in all things to the Lord and to His Word. The Lord says to all whom He saves, He says, be thou faithful. Now the Word of God says it is required in church that a man be found faithful. The hymn writer said, help me, dear Savior, thee to own and ever faithful be. My, the ambition of the hymn writer was to be faithful to the Lord. The ambition here of Lydia in our text tonight was to be faithful to our Lord, to our Savior who had loved her and brought her into the family and fold of God. That was her goal in life. That was her ambition. Friend, let me ask, is that your ambition, to be faithful to the Lord? Is that the goal of your life? Praise God, it can be if you will come, like Lydia, as a repentant sinner to Christ and trust in Him as Savior. Prove His grace day by day. Oh, I urge you tonight to follow the example of this woman. Her heart was open to the gospel. She turned to the Lord as a repentant sinner. And she trusted in the Lord for salvation. Friend, may you tonight also do the same. May you follow her testimony. Follow her example. Religion will not get you into heaven. Baptism will not get you into heaven. Money will not get you into heaven. Only through the blood of Christ can you be saved from your sin. And can you be sure of heaven. Let me ask tonight, what are you going to do with the gospel? That day Paul came to that prayer meeting, he preached. Her heart was opened. She attended to the message. She didn't turn away. She didn't say, that's for Joe Bloggs down the street. That's not for me. I don't want to listen to that kind of preaching, though. She embraced the message of the gospel. What are you going to do with that same gospel tonight? The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, will you believe in Christ? Trust Him. Realize that His atoning work alone is sufficient to save your soul. Will you come and accept Him as your own and personal Savior? Oh, may God bless you and help you to do so. For Christ's sake and for His honor and for His glory. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close. We're singing together the hymn number 249. 249 on the page 276 of your hymn book. Whosoever receiveth the crucified one, whosoever believeth on God's only Son, a free and a perfect salvation shall have, for He is abundantly able to save. A great old gospel hymn. Oh, that you would think upon the truths as we sing them. And my, that they might be the experience of your heart and soul tonight. 249 will stand as we sing. tonight and there's concern in your soul, God has been speaking to you, we'd urge you to call upon the Lord, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. Only too glad to take time with you around the word of the Lord and to show you from God's own word how you can be saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the record, Lord, of this woman, Lydia, whose heart, Lord, thou didst open, who attended unto the message that was preached, and who went on to witness and to live for the Lord. And Father, our prayer would be that every heart and soul in this meeting would be all opened also to Christ and to the gospel message of our Savior. And we pray for men and women and young people and boys and girls still not saved. Oh, that tonight they would yield to the call of God and the gospel, and that they would trust him as their Savior and know their sins forgiven. For those who have already trusted in Christ, help us day by day to witness a good confession for the Lord, that others might know that we've been to Jesus, that we belong to our Savior. Part us with thy fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory, O God. We pray all these things. Amen. And amen.